Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Today, I want to pray the words of St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. God, this is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum being present, the Senate is ready for business. Without objection, we'll be on order of business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on Highways and Transportation. Report that Senate Bill 33 do pass. Senator Teresa Manzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Judiciary. Report that Senate Bill 149 do pass. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Natural Resources. Report that Senate Bill 17 do pass. Senator Jeff Wellborn, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on State Administration. Report that Senate Bill 50 do pass as amended. Signed, Senator Mike Cuff, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on taxation. Report that Senate Bills 16, 64, and 81 do pass, and that Senate Bills 24 and 54 do pass as amended. Signed, Senator Greg Hertz, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will be on order business number 5, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this year with 3 several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and their heroes transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 35, Brewster. House Bill 48, Brockman. House Bill 54, Reed. House Bill 70, Falk. House Bill 83, Regeer, Amy. House Bill 111, Etchart. House Bill 122, Walsh. House Bill 123, Bergstrom. House Bill 132, Moore. House Bill 133, Minor. House Bill 145, Green. House Bill 149, Brinkley. House Bill 157, Rusk. House Bill 166, Harvey. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll be on order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 179 through 189 and House Bills 35, 48, 54, 70, 83, 111, 122, 123, 132, 133, 145, 149, 157, and 166 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to clarify a question that I asked Senator McCafferty yesterday. I had asked her if what she was proposing in the Senate Bill 80 or 56 was consistent with what was in the Constitution. It is. It was just that in our old versions in law, in our law rules book, in our old versions in 2019, it wasn't consistent, but there was a lawsuit. Our new rule books with our new Constitution is consistent with the Senator's bill. So I'm going to support the bill. The question was clarified. Just wanted to clarify that, Mr. President.
Thank you for the clarification. Without objection, we'll be on order of business number 7, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Trebus please take the chair for the day?
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Okay. Members of the Senate, you now have Sorry. Where's my bill list? I'm sorry. Didn't get a chance to practice. Let's do this. Now I have before you, can somebody give me a list? Senate Bill 3, the clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 3, introduced by Cuff, by request of the Revenue Intern Committee, a bill for an act entitled an act revising forest taxation laws, revising the Class 10 forest property reappraisal cycle, revising forest property tax rates, requiring the Department of Revenue to value forest property, revising the stumpage value averaging method amending sections, and providing effective dates and a retroactive applicability date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 3. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 3, that it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion? Well, open on your bill, Mr. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, this is a continuation of a package that we started last year in a year and a half of very hard work. And I will open with saying that this institutes changes in forest land taxation in two steps. Number one, tax rates are adjusted to keep forest land's taxable value neutral in fiscal year 2024 and fiscal year 2025, according to the 2019 reappraisal. This is the same thing that Senate Bill 263 accomplished in the 2021 legislative session. Now, in fiscal year 2026, two-year reappraisals will replace the six-year reappraisal process, and the tax rate reverts to the normal rate of 0.37%. Market values will be much lower based on the new methodology. Now, back several years ago, 2015, I believe, this was set up on a six-year taxable cycle. But it was due to be paid attention to and updated on a regular basis throughout that period. What actually happened was people sort of forgot it, blame it on COVID-19 or whatever else. But somehow the committee that was supposed to be reassessing failed to meet until the last minute, and someone, an economist, had been hired to put together the new tax rate, and it wound up tripling forest tax. The purpose of this bill and Senate 263 last session is to correct the over-evaluation of forest land that would have increased the relative tax burden on forest owners. Now, while Senate Bill 263 was a temporary fix, Senate Bill 3 is permanent. Senate Bill 3 extends the adjustments to tax rates until fiscal year 2026, when the reappraisal forest land is moved to a two-year cycle brought in-house to the Department of Revenue. Additionally, the tax shift to other taxpayers would be minimal because forest land represents a very small share of total statewide taxable value, 0.142%. The shift to an average home valued at $350,000, well under a dollar. With that, Mr. Chairman, that describes the overall bill very well, and I open it to the floor.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will close, but in closing, I would like to say there are several other members that worked on the special interim forest tax reappraisal, put in a lot of hard work. I will not name them here on the floor, but they did a super job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 3, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Would any member like to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 3 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 36. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 36, introduced by Lent, by request of the Department of Public Health and Human Services, a bill for an act entitled an act eliminating certain statutorily required reports for the Department of Public Health and Human Services, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 36. What is your pleasure, Senator Lenz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 36, that it recommend do pass. Mr. Chair.
Senator Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a cleanup bill, so to speak, from the governor, eliminating certain reports. A lot of times I, as a member of the legislature, like to see reports, but I want them to be valuable to us. And so I'll touch on the three that this addresses. Number one, the fiscal analysis information from state agencies. You will see on page 2, starting on line 12, that we eliminated some stuff, including stuff associated with the secure data warehouse project. As it turned out, it seemed as though that was going to be a negative moving forward for the agencies and such, and so we amended in line 18 through 21 as with their recommendation. The Older Americans Trust Fund, Older Montana's Trust Fund is not funded, and so we're eliminating that report. And the third one is the Montana Parents as Scholars Program. That is still in place, but it serves 25 parents at a time, I believe. And we want to eliminate that report. And so with that, I look forward to your many and varied questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lenz that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 36, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the Senator Wilburn. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 42 senators vote aye and 8 senators vote nay.
42 senators having voted aye and 8 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 36 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you Senate Bill 74. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 74, introduced by McCamey, by request of the Public Employees Retirement Board. A bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to the public employees' retirement systems administered by the Public Employees' Retirement Board, correcting interest paid upon redeposits of refunded contributions to actuarial assumed rate of return, allowing for limited information sharing with employers requiring payment to the trust of a minor beneficiary, clarifying the application of excess earnings for a calculation of highest and final average compensation, revising definition of compensation, revising membership in the public employees retirement system, clarifying provisions regarding the transfer and purchase of service credits from the teacher's retirement system, allowing members to voluntarily cancel a disability retirement benefit, clarifying working retiree limits, clarifying the definition of sheriff related to the sheriff's retirement system, providing a timeline for board approval of late fire company annual certificates and training records, amending sections, and providing effective dates.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 20.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 74. What is your pleasure, Senator McCamey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 74, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, this bill, as you heard, was requested by the retirement systems administered by the Public Employees Retirement Board. Number one, the Senate Bill 74 was introduced because each biennium the board's staff tracks issues that require statutory clarification or are needed to maintain the retirement systems as qualified retirement plans under the Internal Revenue Code. Senate Bill 74 contains those changes considered necessary and appropriate for the administration of the retirement systems. The proposed legislation was reviewed and accepted by the State Administration of Veterans Affairs Interim Committee and was voted on by the Senate State Administration unanimously. There is no fiscal impact to this legislation. It's just cleaning up some language. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McKinney that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 74, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. As Senator Dunwell, Temple. Senator Temple. Where is he? Yep. Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one senator having voted no. Senate Bill 74 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 76. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 76, introduced by McClafferty, by request of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, a bill for an act entitled an act removing the requirement that a paper license or tag be attached to a game animal or turkey, allowing for a paper license or tag to accompany the carcass of a game animal or turkey, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 76. What is your pleasure, Senator McClafferty?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 76, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator McClafferty.
Thank you. Members of the Senate, this bill comes from the request of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Senate Bill 76 removes the requirement that a paper tag be physically attached to game, animal, or a turkey carcass. Instead, it must accompany the carcass, and this practice will be consistent with hunters who choose to use the e-tags. In 2022, FWP released the e-tag app, and there were exactly 27,854 e-tags sold, and FWP believes that the use of e-tags will only increase, and this change is only necessary for those who choose to use e-tags, people who want to use the paper tags are more than welcome to use them. I ask for a do pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McClafferty that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 76, it recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Lenz? Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 76 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 88. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 88, introduced by Curdy, by request of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, a bill for an act entitled Act excluding the requirement to obtain an aquatic invasive species prevention pass to acquire a lifetime fishing license for the blind, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 88. What is your pleasure, Senator Curdy?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 88, that I recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Senator Curdy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in 2019, this legislature passed funding for the Aquatic Invasive Species Prevention Program. And within that program, there was a $2 prevention pass that will assess to every Montana angler, and this will be assessed annually. So at the request of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, they would like to change this $2 prevention pass when it comes to people who are by 53-7-301 as legally blind. So basically what this bill will do is will eliminate that $2 assessment on that lifetime fishing pass for people who are legally blind. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Curdy that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 88, recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Senator Beard, there you go. Thank you. Has every member voted? Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no. Senate Bill 88 has passed second reading. Members of the, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 100. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 100, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws relating to naturopathic physicians and natural substances, revising definitions, amending the natural substance formulary list for naturopathic physicians, amending laws relating to the natural substance formulary list, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 100. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 100, that I recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, this is a pretty simple bill, just updating a 30-year-old limitation on what naturopathic doctors can do. The bill is really for patients. It's around the state who have chosen naturopathic doctors as part of their healthcare team. After 3 decades, naturopathic doctors are essential in our primary care in Montana and have unparalleled safety records. The Montana naturopathic formula is currently restricted in statute. That's what we're amending here today. Other Western states have removed similar restrictions over the last 15 years. In my part of the state, there's over 20 independent naturopathic clinics in the Flathead Valley, and I'm sure many of you have doctors in your communities also. They're providing care for family members, tribal members, and people who often travel miles just to see their naturopathic doctor. This greatly expands healthcare options for patients, and this bill makes a small change that will directly lower costs for those patients. And how does that happen? Well, right now, naturopathic doctors can't prescribe certain drugs, such as some of your just common drugs for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, things like that. So what they have to do now, they may be working with a patient, and after they have decided, and their patient may want to continue on that drug, they have to call a physician and get that prescription filled. So then the patient has to maybe go to a physician, see them, get charged another fee, and then finally go down to their local pharmacy and pick up the drug that they need. Naturopathic doctors hold DEA license. They participate in the Montana Prescription Drug Registry. And so just to give you a few more examples, they can prescribe most antibiotics, but not some others that are synthetic. Some blood pressure medicines, but not others. They can prescribe controlled substances and extremely complex medications already. But there's these newer drugs that are synthetics that they just can't prescribe. Naturopathics doctors can already prescribe a significant majority of the drugs that are used routinely in primary care. This bill passed out of committee unanimously. We had a great hearing in committee, heard from both sides of the issue, and this bill was developed throughout the interim, worked with input from committee and including pharmacists, and with substantial input from the Department of Labor staff and legal. So this bill just removes outdated restrictions that patients can really need with their with their naturopathic doctors. As we all like our primary care doctors, these are becoming more and more popular. Naturopathic doctors look at everything that's going on in your environment, including what you're eating, your exercise routine, what drugs you might be taking. They spend a lot of time with you. They're actually even working with some patients to get you off certain drugs. So some of these drugs, when you wean yourself off them, you need to slowly get off them. And so these naturopathic doctors are doing a great service. And so this bill is primarily for the patients across the state of Montana who basically need choices. And so with that, members, I would encourage you to pass. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have a question. Will the sponsors to the bill yield to
does
a question?
Does the sponsor yield?
I will, as long as you don't get too scientific.
Senator Fuller.
You know me. That's not possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, will this bill, legalizing this process, make it easier for people to get their insurance companies to cover drugs that they did not cover before?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no, this bill doesn't impact or touch on that, the insurance requirements, okay. Unfortunately.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 100, it recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
44 senators having voted aye and 6 having voted no. Senate Bill 100 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 101. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 101, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws relating to the dispensation of drugs by naturopathic physicians, including naturopathic physicians in laws relating to the dispensation of drugs, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 101. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 101, that I recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Members of the committee, this is a cleanup bill. Last session, the bill carried by Senator Kerry Smith allowed medical providers to dispense limited category of prescriptions in their offices. So this in-office dispensing is important, especially for those of us living in rural Montana. That may be ways from a local pharmacy, and it just allows more convenience to the patients. So it was really an oversight, as you know, the former senator, and we had all other doctors and dentists, orthopaths, MDs, podiatrists, optometrists, nurse practitioners were all included in the bill last session, but we omitted naturopathic doctors. So with that, I would request a due pass.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 101, it recommends the same due pass. As many are as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Would any member like to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
46 senators having voted aye and 4 having voted no. Senate Bill 101 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 107. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 107, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws relating to civil liability for injuries involving alcohol overconsumption, providing that statutory law precludes a claim under any other theory of recovery or common law claim for injury or damage involving the alcohol consumer, clarifying laws related to serving alcohol consumers, providing considerations required of a jury or trier of fact, prohibiting certain considerations by a jury or trier of fact, revising who may bring a civil action, revising notice requirements, revising punitive damage considerations, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 107. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 107, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a bill which revises laws related to liability for over-serving alcohol. In the law, we call this the Dram Shop Act, and that's what you see on the bill here, Section 1. What this bill does is it establishes the parameters if you were to sue somebody who served, or if you're going to sue somebody for liability arising from over-serving of alcohol, you would do it under this law. So the reason for this bill is that as time has gone on here in the last few years, insurance costs have really started to explode for people who own bars and restaurants. Prices are exploding. Costs are going up for people even without claims quite significantly. And what's happening now is many people are going without insurance, and insurance companies are also leaving the market. So what this bill is intended to do is kind of bring a little bit more fairness back to our civil liability system with regard to these lawsuits or civil claims arising from over-serving of alcohol. I'd like to just walk through the bill, kind of explain the different parts of it so you can understand it. If you look just on the first page, Section 2, which is underlined, what this does is it will establish that this act is the exclusive remedy for a claim. If you're going to sue somebody for over-serving, you don't get to come up with some other novel theory like premise liability, which is now going on. Apparently, under the Supreme Court decisions, over-serving is premise liability. I thought premise liability was for conditions of property, but apparently we've had a little different change in the law. If you go to the next page, what it talks about is the types of evidence which will be admitted in these types of lawsuits. So the jury or the judge, whoever examines the case, will look at things such as the negligence of the person who was consuming the alcohol, visible factors, audible factors that somebody could observe, other types of causes. Then if you go down into six, these are things that are not to be considered by a jury or judge, and that's because they're fundamentally unfair. For example, hypothetical blood levels. Last time I checked, people don't give a breathalyzer when they walk in the door, so not really fair to say you had a certain blood level type if nobody knew that. Signs that the customer displayed after they've been served the alcohol, apparently that's what goes on now. You were supposed to know, apparently, before you served them, that they were going to act a different way afterwards, and then we're going to base liability on that. So not very fair. Types of events that the person holds. So that goes into that. And then if you flip to the last page, I think really the big one is Section 9. Under the law, if you're going to sue somebody for a violation, you have to give them a notice. But what happens now is that the lawyers just send a claim notice to everybody in the town. So even if you did not serve the person, you'll get these claim notices, which require you to turn them over to the insurance company, which then the insurance company triggers an investigation. You have to go look through your security film to see if the person was even at your premises. And of course, that wastes your time, causes expense, makes it look like there's a claim on your policy, and so forth. So that's kind of the bill in a nutshell. This is not intended to protect people that act inappropriately. It's intended to be a way to install some fairness into our litigation system. So those people that are over-serving and you're violating the law, you're gonna be liable under this bill. For those people who are doing the right thing, a little bit more equal treatment in front of our courts. So with that, I'd give a green light.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I want to rise today both as a, how should I put it, in a former life, I was in a partnership. We owned a supper club in Missoula. I served as the weekend bartender. And so I see this issue from both sides of the issue. And, you know, this troubles me from both aspects. But anyway, this bill takes a major bite out of the dram shop law that we've had on the books for years. Basically, it removes a deterrent to alcohol providers for over-serving patrons. I know as a bartender and looking at dram shop law, you know, I had to pay a lot of attention to who was drinking and how much they were drinking. I mean, this is pretty serious business. I mean, those folks walk out of my establishment and do something bad. I know who's on the hook. Okay, so I'm coming at it from that point of view here. So anyway, and of course the bill will deny justice to anybody who has been victimized by a drunk driver. And so anyway, also the bill also eliminates any tort actions against alcohol providers for failure to provide for the safety and patrons in or adjacent to their property. Now in 1974, the Montana Supreme Court in a decision said that an establishment that serves alcoholic beverages owes patrons, quote, the duty of exercising reasonable care and protect them from injury at the hands of fellow patrons, and of seeing to it that a patron is not injured either by those in his employ or drunken or vicious men who he may choose to harbor. Kip versus Wong. This is long-standing duty, not some recent change that's popped up. There's also a new section that bars, and the good senator referred to this, any use of blood alcohol levels in any civil cases. So basically what that means is that anybody who is seeking redress from an accident cannot use that blood alcohol data that comes from the investigation. Now, we all know in this day and age that law enforcement has the ability to go in after somebody's had an accident, go back and figure, well, they had the last drink at 2 a.m. They had the accident at 4. So they take the test at 4 or at 4:30. They can figure out back what the content, alcohol content was for that person who consumed alcohol at that time. So again, this is a real serious detriment to anybody who is trying to find good data, good evidence to pursue the case. And finally, and I hate to blither on long about this, but this is one section, new section 7A, which arbitrarily denies 18 years of age and older of over-served defendant any remedy. So if you are a passenger in a car, 18 years of age, you get in a wreck, you're hurt, you can't sue the driver. Now, in all essence, folks, and I'm going to be honest here, as a bar owner, this is an insurance bailout bill. Okay? Really. I know what bar owners are going through with their insurance. I saw it back in when I owned a bar. Nothing's new. And folks, if we pass this law, nothing is going to change. Absolutely. In terms of how much insurance companies charge. So, again, I appreciate your time and listening to my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. The good senator ended his statements earlier by saying that overservers will still be liable. However, this bill effectively completely removes the deterrent of overserving. And let's look at it really specifically. In line 21, it says that they cannot be found civilly liable under any statute. So if you have a server involved in alcohol, they can't be liable for anything. Nothing. And what's worse, we made a dram shop law, which meant what? We said that you had to give notice within 180 days if you were going to sue a bar establishment. 180 days. Under any other kind of civil liability, you had 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. This made it 180 days, and now by the new Section 9, you have to have all the evidence before you even give notice. Well, you can't have notice before you do you can't have all the evidence before you give discovery. It takes longer than 180 days sometimes to even get the blood test, and then we say you can't use it, some of them anyway. But this, so Section 9 effectively says that, oh, you still have a cause of action, but you'll never be able to use it. So with that, I think it's really important to recognize that we have a driving epidemic of driving under the influence of alcohol. This is one of the last deterrents that we have. And even if it would bring down rates, which it will not, because there's already a limit on what kind of damages you can get, this will not bring down rates. It's still a too high price to pay for the other Montanans that are injured. And I think it's really important to remember that this long-standing rule, this duty that bar establishment servers have to their patrons, is something that anyone who takes on a kind of responsible for what for your actions. We are all responsible for our actions. Let's not remove this from these establishments. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak on this bill. One, the conversation that the good senator to the north of me had a conversation about, talking about how law enforcement could go back in what's called reverse extrapolation. It cannot be used in the court of law because it's not been found that it's statistically correct. It has been used, and I've actually been a witness, an expert testimony, to actually do reverse extrapolation in a civil case to show that there was that this person had drank after a football game. That being said, the question is are we going to put the onus on the person that's drinking, or are we going to put the onus on the bartender that served him? My ass is, if that's the case, then why don't we make law that if somebody gets in a car accident, we should sue the car manufacturer? If someone sells them marijuana, should we sue the dispensary because they gave them too much marijuana? These are the kind of things. When is it the person that actually caused the issue, not the person that served them? That's my question. So if you come to my business and somehow, whatever I do, whatever I have you, at your own will, you go out and do something else, I should be liable? As a business owner, I think this is counterproductive, and no, this will help out bars because it will help them have their insurances lower, and it should be on the person that caused the action. Just like in DUIs, when someone gets in an accident and kills somebody, should we hold them liable? Because they didn't do the dude. They didn't go out there. They didn't cause the drink. They could have got a person that'll give them a ride home. They could have a cab. There's so many options to opt out from driving into your vehicle and getting in an accident and causing issues. So when is it on the person that made the decision to go out, drink too much, and cause the accident? I'm sorry, I'm going to be a no on this one because I believe it's the personal responsibility of the person that is consuming it willingly, not the person that handed them the drink. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Noland.
Thank you. I just want a clarification. You're a no or a yes?
I'm a hell no. Okay. I'm a yes on the bill, but hell no on that word.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Noland.
Speak to the bill. So we heard this in committee, and I've heard this some of these things over the last number of years. So I'd like to go back a little bit. When we heard in committee that the lawyers can sue blanketly a whole street or a whole entity, a whole group of people, because we don't know if they got drunk in your bar or your restaurant or your restaurant or your restaurant or your bar, so they sue everybody. Then it's your responsibility. You have to prove. So you have to go back with all whatever amount of time you can devote to that. And then also, the insurance companies are looking at, oh, you've been held brought into a lawsuit that, you know, maybe it passed, maybe it didn't, maybe you were sued, maybe you weren't, but they look at it because the lawyers can sue blankly. And then that's wrong. So I think we need to be, you know, be looking at this. This does, it can hurt individuals. We heard restaurant owners say, I can't afford to have insurance. Oh, that's terrible. And in bars too. I can't afford this because they're suing us blatantly because of my bartender. And I asked the question, what are the requirements for you to teach, you know, a bartender specifically in, you know, to make sure he can do his very best to make sure he's not giving somebody too much to drink. And they answer it to my satisfaction, and I am not a participant of that substance ever. But what's fair? So the whole restaurant and the whole bar, they're all going to get sued. And that part of it, in my standpoint, that isn't fair. This is a good bill. We need to look at it from that standpoint. I heard some of the comments from the other side here. I don't understand their comments at all, and I hope that we can see that this is a good bill to pass to keep people in business.
Further discussion, Senator Gillespie.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, a couple points that struck me on this was just the fact that, and this was made in reference to the High Line up there. I don't know if we're any worse than anywhere else or any better than anywhere else, but so many bars actually making the determination we can't afford it. We're going to gamble our whole entire business on the fact that hopefully we don't get sued, and if we do get sued, we probably lose the whole thing, but maybe it's not worth much at this point anyway. So, that to me is just a compelling reason. We've got to do something about this. And also the point was made that this isn't going to lower the insurance costs. Well, I would think it would, but we've already got a lot of companies. It was shown that compared to our neighboring states, we run an awful lot higher here in Montana. So something is wrong. Something does need to be fixed. A little bit of relief, I think, is more than necessary. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the sponsor stand for a question?
Does the sponsor yield?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sponsor, how would serving underage minors be affected by this statute?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Manzella, it doesn't change the criminal liability for that at all. It would still be the same.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close?
I would, Mr. Chair, just a couple comments. You know, when we're writing laws here, I think, you know, we, at least from my point of view, when I looked at this bill, I was actually approached earlier in the interim about banning this type of liability at all, and I said, you know, that's not really a good idea. We need to have a balance between making sure that, you know, the people that are injured legitimately can be compensated, while at the same time, you know, not rewarding claims that don't have any merit. And this was kind of the compromise product that came out of those discussions. And ultimately, I don't want to, and I don't think anybody here wants to reward that bad operator who deliberately refuses to, or who you know, ignores signs of overconsumption. But on the other hand, it's not fair to say, wow, this guy had this blood alcohol level when there's no way of actually knowing it. You have to be able to look at the person and determine, the server has to be able to look at them and determine whether they actually are intoxicated. And that's a judgment call. And to have standards and allow evidence that nobody would know and nobody would be able to see it is not fair. A couple points, though, I want to make sure is clear here. This statute, this dram shop law, this is not unique. We have other statutes in the code book for realtors. If you want to sue a realtor, there's a specific statute you have to sue on. So we have these things in the law. There was also a comment here about the passenger. You can't sue if you've gotten, if you're a passenger, you get in a vehicle with a drunk driver, and then you get in an accident. Well, why would we reward people for doing behavior that's inherently dangerous? So I think that makes sense, that we should not be rewarding people for driving with people that are obviously under the influence of alcohol. And then I want to finally address this comment here about insurance. I hear this all the time. Every time we bring a legal reform bill here, this will never change insurance rates. The fact of the matter is, the bills we pass in here do make a difference. Those of us who were here in 2011, we passed that work comp reform. We were the highest in the country. We are no longer that way anymore. So what we do makes a difference. I'm quite certain this will make a difference as well. And ultimately, we have a balance here. If we get to the point where insurance gets so expensive that nobody can afford it, there's nothing worse, I can tell you, when a person walks in the door, they have a claim, they've been injured, and there's no way to get any money for them. We have to be able to have insurance that's affordable so that people, when they do get hurt, they can be compensated. This bill helps go in that direction, so I would ask for you to give this a green light.
Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 107, it recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Would any new member like to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 17 having voted no. Senate Bill 107 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 108. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 108, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to proof of motor vehicle insurance, eliminating the requirement for carrying proof of insurance, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 8.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 108. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 108 that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair and members of the body, this bill is, well, let me go this way. Have you ever been pulled over by a police officer and you have to hand them your driver's license and what else? A little piece of paper or card for your proof of insurance. And you're digging through your glove box and you're digging through everywhere in your car, truck, trying to find it, and you can't find it. And hopefully they don't give you a ticket. Last time I actually did get pulled over, I couldn't find that card. And he said, wow, no problem. I got it on the computer. You're good for insurance. So my question is, why do we have to carry that insurance card if law enforcement has it on their computer in their car? And yes, in Montana, we've got a lot of some agencies that don't have computers in their cars. So the dispatchers have computers in their offices and they can check the insurance and it pops right up and says whether you have insurance. Now let's go back to that card. So if I get renewal every year, April 1st, that card says I have insurance from April 1st to the following year, April 1st. If I don't pay my bill on October 1st, what happens? Your insurance gets canceled. But I still have a card that says I have insurance, right? So it's really false information. It's not as accurate as a computer. So I'm asking that we should not have to carry that card, and we shouldn't get a ticket for not carrying that card, because that information in today's technology world is readily available. So I ask for a due pass.
Thank you. Are there amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 108 with amendment SB 108-21 brought by Senator Usher.
What's your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 108 be amended and request that amendment SB 108.002.001 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of this committee, when we wrote this bill, It was the intent that, one, we shouldn't get a ticket for not having that card, but we also know that technology sometimes, either the computer in the car or maybe back at dispatch, doesn't work at that moment, internet's down, whatever reason, or sometimes that the computers are not 100% accurate. So we wanted to, on page, I think that says 8, put in there that if you are able to go to the court or go to that officer with proof that you did have insurance on that day after you got a ticket, that the charges would be dropped. So that's a simple amendment.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator, would you like to close on the amendment? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that Senate Bill 108 be amended. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no, the amendment passes. Are there further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion? Senator Noland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the sponsor, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
You're the sponsor?
Mr. Chair, only if he's nice.
Mr. I just a simple question. Are we doing this because you seem to be getting pulled over a lot?
I plead the fifth.
Is there any further discussion? Would the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 108, it recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and two senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and two senators having voted no, Senate Bill 108 has passed second reading.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Fitzpatrick. Those, as many of the favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. On the board. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President.
Let's back this up a little bit. Senator, you're a little bit ahead of me there. The secretary will read the report first.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had a consideration of business in the second reading, we're circulating for it as follows. Senate bills do pass 3, 36, 74, 76, 88, 100, 101, 107. Senate bill passes amended. Senate bill 108.
Senator Trevis.
Move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Trevis. All those in favor of the committee of the report whole being adopted, vote aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 senators having voted aye and 4 having voted no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll be on order business number 8. Third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 48, introduced by Pope, a bill for an act entitled Repeal Detachable Metal Beverage Container Opener Laws.
Senate Bill 48 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 48 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 56, introduced by McClafferty, A bill for an act entitled Revising Ballot Initiative Petition Forms for Consistency with the Constitution.
Senate Bill 56, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Wellborn? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, secretary, will record the votes.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators have voted aye, and 5 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 56 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 67, addressed by McGilvery. A bill for an act entitled General Revised Scheduling of Dangerous Drugs.
Senate Bill 67 have been run through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, 0 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 67 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 71, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Milk Control Policies.
Senate Bill 71, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? The secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 71 has passed the Senate. That objection will be on order business number 9. Motions. Senator.
Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Bill 3 by Senator Cuff, revised forest land taxation laws, and Senate Bill 108 by Senator Usher, revised laws related to proof of motor vehicles to financing claims.
That objection is so ordered. That objection will be on order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, three bills. Bible study tomorrow morning will not meet. There's a governor's prayer gathering at 7 in the rotunda.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. May we be off the record and out of the journal, please?
Off and out.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, sitting in the back of the balcony are a couple of friends of mine from near Coakdale, Montana, Eldon and Elaine. Welcome to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Manzella.
Mr. President, may I be off and out for the purpose of two announcements?
Off and out.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, tomorrow the Special Select Committee on Election Integrity will be meeting at 4:30 in room 303, and the Secretary of State will be presenting on her new election management system, and everyone's invited to attend and view that if you'd like to. We'd appreciate having you there. And then immediately following that, the Montana Freedom Caucus will be launching in the same room, room 303, and we will have Congressman Matt Rosendale present, and some heavy hors d'oeuvres. We'd love to have you join us.
Senator Small.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, Senate Business and Labor in its normal room, 422. Four bills, and then off and out for two announcements.
Off and out.
Tomorrow night, Thursday, at Green Meadow Country Club, CSKT will be having their legislative reception, and also at 6 o'clock at the Montana City Grill will be the Montana Cannabis Guild also having a reception. Thank you.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today, Wednesday, 3 p.m., State Administration will be meeting, hearing bills, and tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, 317B, long-range planning continues hearing bills. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Imba.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I be off and out for?
Off and out.
I would just like to invite everybody to the Governor's Prayer Gathering. please join the Governor and Lieutenant Governor, and they're gonna have some coffee and donuts at 7 o'clock, and they're gonna have music at 7:15, and the program begins at 7:30. So, I'd like to see you all there.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to be off and out.
Off and out.
Members of the body, I want to introduce my wife today. She's in the gallery.
See, stand up, sweetie. Okay, this is my wife, my high school sweetheart, wife of 47 years.
Welcome to the Senate.
And Mr. President, public health will meet at 3 o'clock.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section C subcommittee will not be meeting in the morning. We've got a field trip with one of the agencies. Senate Natural Resources, today at 2:30, we've got some executive action to take prior to some hearings. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, Senate Education, 3 o'clock. We're hearing a bill, and tomorrow morning, Joint Appropriations on Education, 8:30. Thank you.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section B, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 102.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate taxation, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, three bills, executive action.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section A will meet in room 350 at 8:30.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local government will be meeting at 2:20 today. We have three bills, no exec.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. For those of you who have not taken the bait, the Walleyes Unlimited invites you to the Jorgies tonight at 5:30.
Mr. Majority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader.
Sorry, Mr. President, the whip here had some very important things to tell me.
If you'd care to share, we'll listen.
That's all right. I move the stand adjourned until the hour of 1 o'clock on January 19th, 2023, the 14th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. We'll stand adjourned until tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Did you read it? Okay. I didn't get them. That's okay. So these are not...